Turn in your Bibles this evening to Hebrews chapter 5. The text from my sermon is found in Hebrews 5, verses 11 through 14. And this evening we're going to read all of chapter 5. So Hebrews chapter 5, and then the text will be found in the last four verses. The writer to the Hebrews here is telling us the amazing news that we have a great high priest. And in the previous chapter, he says, because we have a great high priest, we can go boldly to the throne of grace. And then he says this, for every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men and things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he also says in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek," who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. May God work in our hearts tonight so that our response to this word is not one of dullness of hearing. The writer to the Hebrews here is talking to these early Jewish Christians about a great, great and important doctrine. The doctrine that Jesus Christ is our great high priest. Isn't it very interesting that in order for us to understand Jesus and the riches of his work, the Bible gives to us all these Old Testament types and shadows? Why was there a tabernacle in ancient times? Why were there priests? Why was there a high priest? Well, it's so that when Jesus comes, we can put him in context and we can understand something of the riches of his work. I heard about some missionaries one time who went to some country, I think it was somewhere in the Pacific Isles, in some island someplace, and they showed up and they didn't provide any groundwork. They didn't tell the people there about God making the world in Genesis 1. They didn't tell them anything about the Old Testament, and suddenly they just started telling about Jesus. They said, "You're a sinner, and God sent his son, and Jesus is the Savior." And of course, the people in that culture, they couldn't understand what was being said. But God, you see, has provided for us a whole Old Testament. And it's because we have the Old Testament that when the Messiah comes, we can begin to perceive the riches of his work. What is human sin? Well, if you don't have the Old Testament, you're not going to understand the gravity of what sin is. And how there is a God who is the creator who has been offended, and how we need to be right with him. and the high priest in the Old Testament who would enter into the holiest of all, you know, just once a year. It's like the Israelites had sinned for a whole year now, and now he'd come and he'd bring the blood to make intercession. Well, you see, all that's the background here. And you know what the writer to the Hebrews has to say, or preacher has to say? I can't even talk to you more about Melchizedek. I've got some important things I want to teach you, some solid food, but guess what? I can't even serve it to you. Because we have a very, very sad situation in the early church. Very strange situation. Be like if your kids were home, and you're sitting at the dinner table with your dad, and all of a sudden you find that, you know, your mom is going to have a steak, you're having some hamburgers, and there's your dad. And at the table, he says, no, I just can't eat any of that food. And so he takes a bottle out. And your dad at the table takes a bottle and is drinking from a bottle, drinking milk. What would you think? A grown man drinking milk. That's what was happening. In the early church, there were people who should have been mature. They were adult Christians. They should have been way past drinking milk. But the writer to the Hebrews says, I can't even tell you about Melchizedek and how he is a type of Jesus Christ, who is a king and the great high priest. He says, I can't even tell you because that's solid food and all you can handle right now is milk. Now, if you're an adult in the congregation, and by God's grace, you can eat the solid food that's in God's Word, don't think that there isn't also a Word of God here for you and for me. Because I have a question for you. We who have grown up in the church even all of our lives, who have heard the gospel preached from God's ministers since the time we were little children, we had catechism where we heard the stories, we had Christian school teachers who instructed us, we had lots of milk, we had a wealth of milk, and when we were young, it was nutritious, and we drank that milk, and we grew in grace. And then we grew up. And we've heard the gospel preached all our lives. We've had devotions. We have the Word of God. Are you as mature as you ought to be? Have you grown and matured so that you can rightly divide the word of truth, so that, as the writer says here, are you skilled in the word of righteousness? Is there a maturity in your life? And I think that if we adult Christians are honest with ourselves, even if we're mature enough, you know, that we don't have to go back to the bottle, we have not matured as we ought. How much do you know the sacred scriptures? How skilled are you interpreting them? How mature are you in your Christian confession? The reality is that we have not grown and blossomed and matured as we should have. So this should be a time of repentance for us too. The writer to the Hebrews is making the point that in the Christian life, you can't just somehow just be passive and just think you can drift along in the Christian life. His point in this letter is that there's no safe, like, neutral place. He says, one of two things is happening. Either you're drifting backwards or you're pressing forward. Notice how he says this in Hebrews 10, verse 39. He says, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them who believe to the saving of the soul. We were warned this morning about drifting. Tonight we're being warned about maturing. If we're not growing and maturing, then we will be regressing back towards childhood again. So it's time for us to take a look at our lives and say, am I maturing or am I regressing back to spiritual childhood? That's the title of my sermon. It's a very sad thing, regressing to spiritual childhood. We'll look at the meaning of that and then the cause of that and then finally the remedy to it. So the writer to the Hebrews says there's a danger that adult confessing Christians should regress back into childhood. regress back into infancy again. He says in verse 12, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." In verse 14, he says, "But solid food belongs to those who are of full age." So the writer to the Hebrews says that there's some early Christians, adults, professing Christians, and he says, "You have regressed back into infancy again. You can't even eat solid food. I can't even talk to you about how Old Testament people like Melchizedek, how they're types of the Lord Jesus Christ, because all you can eat is, and process is, milk." Now, this is a sad thing. Was it a happy thing when I was younger? I had a cousin who was my age. And so he was 16 years old, and I was 16. And guess what? He never walked any place by himself. His mom needed to carry him everywhere. And he couldn't eat any steaks or hamburgers. His whole life, all he would drink was milk, and he ate baby food. Now that's sad. It's a hard thing to see. A 16-year-old boy who has to eat baby food. Now, milk is fitting for babies. It's totally appropriate for a baby to drink milk from his or her mother's breast. It's totally appropriate for babies to suck on the bottle. That's the food that God has ordained for them. It's nutritious for the baby. You see, there's nothing wrong with milk. Milk is an amazing gift of God. And we all drink it when we were little babies. And God used our mother's milk for us to grow and mature. There's nothing wrong with milk. And there's nothing wrong with the milk of the Word that our dads and moms fed us with when we were little children. When our dads and moms taught us the Bible stories and taught us to sing the Psalms and memorize the Bible, they gave us milk to drink. And it was good, and it was nutritious. And if we were born again at a young age, we drank it and we grew and we matured spiritually. You see, there's nothing wrong with milk, but it is a problem if you're a grown adult and all you can process is milk. The writer to the Hebrews says in verse 13, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Now, do you kids like it when someone calls you a big baby? Especially if you're younger kid in the family and you have older siblings. And if you're 8 years old and let's say you cry too much, your older siblings might say, "You big baby?" What do they mean? Well, they mean that you're big now. You're not little anymore. You're not the size of a baby. You're big, and yet you're still acting like a baby. The writer to the Hebrews says to these adult Christians, it must have been rough for them to receive, he said to them, "You are big babies. You're acting like a baby. You're only able to drink milk." Now, the problem with these early Christians, this is very important. It's not just one of not understanding the Bible enough, although that's part of the story here. What I always was struck by when I taught catechism, I would teach the first and second and third graders, and basically we take them through the whole story of the Bible, the Old Testament history, the New Testament history. And then guess what we do? Take them right through that again when they were fourth and fifth graders, but now at a higher level. Notice, give them more solid food. And then we'd actually take them through again as sixth and seventh graders, 1 year on the Old Testament, 1 year on the New Testament. Now they got more of a biblical theology. So notice how as children mature, they can understand more. They can understand more of the gospel. But you see, the maturity that the writer to the Hebrews has in mind is not just a maturity of knowledge, it's a maturity in your actions and in your ethics and how you're acting. Turn to 1 Corinthians 1 and chapter 3, 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 3, and there you'll see in 1 Corinthians 3, the Apostle Paul is dealing with a similar problem and uses the same metaphors, the language of milk and solid food. But notice very carefully the nature of the immaturity of these early Christians in Corinth. There Paul says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people," we would say as mature adults, he says, "but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you are not able to receive it, and even now you're not still able." So Paul had to deal with the same problem with Corinthian Christians. They were being babies too. He said, "I couldn't even feed you a deep theology. I had to give you just milk, simple, clear, biblical teaching." But why? Look at verse 3. Notice the problem wasn't that they weren't smart enough. That's not the problem. He says, "For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" So notice what the writer Paul is saying here. He's saying the reason why there's this immaturity in your life and I got to feed you with just milk is because you're so sinful yet. You're so carnal. You're envying other people. You're fighting amongst each other. There's divisions. So notice, the immaturity in our life is not immaturity when it comes, for example, our knowledge of the Bible. Like if I would say to you, "Could you summarize for me the main points that God makes in the prophecy of Jeremiah?" You know, you'd think by this time in our life for us older Christians that we would say, well, these are the main points that God gives to us in the prophecy of Jeremiah. But notice the issue isn't just one of intellect. Our immaturity is evident by our sinfulness. I don't care how much theology some of us know or how much we even know our Bibles. Our immaturity is evident in our sinfulness. Now that's something we're going to return to because in Hebrews chapter 5, in verse 14, there Paul says something related to that when he says, "But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Notice that. Babies can't really tell the difference between good and evil, but that's something we're going to come back to. Now, the Hebrews are immature because they have neglected the teaching that has come to them. He's writing to them about Melchizedek. That's very interesting, isn't it? Because we only meet Melchizedek a couple times in the Bible. Back, we meet him in Genesis where Abraham meets him when he goes and delivers Lot from the kings who had come and attacked the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham pays tithes to this man named Melchizedek, who's the king of Salem. And then suddenly in one of the Psalms, hundreds of years later, the psalmist is inspired to say that the Messiah will be a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And the writer to the Hebrews is going to talk about some of those solid doctrines of the Bible. But he says, you're not really ready for them. He says in verse 14, "But solid food belongs to those who are full age." You see, there is solid food in the Bible. There's profound teaching. Whether it's of our union with the Lord Jesus Christ, that's an amazing and rich teaching. Part of the solid food in the Bible are all the types and shadows, like how Melchizedek is a type of Jesus, how Aaron is a type, how King David, King Solomon are types. Those are all part of the solid food. Solid food includes the Apostle Paul's marvelous and clear teaching on justification, how we are right with God through faith alone. The identity of the Antichrist. And the signs of the time. That's part of the solid food in the Bible. Teaching of the glorious Trinity, what the Bible says about the richness of the Trinitarian relationships between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's solid food. And as mature Christians, that's what we should be able to eat. But the problem is that these big babies in the early church, all they can process are what the writer says in verse 12, the first principles of the oracles of God. You've come to need milk and not solid food. He talks about the oracles of God. The ancient Greeks, when they talked about oracles, they were talking about how supposedly their idol gods, like Apollos, would make revelations to the priests. The writer to the Hebrews, when he talks about the oracles of God, guess what he means? The sacred scriptures. The writer to the Hebrews has a very high view of the sacred scriptures. Elsewhere, for example, when the writer to the Hebrews is talking about things written in Numbers in the Old Testament, he'll say, the Holy Spirit says. In other words, the scriptures are God-breathed. This is the word of God. And by the way, as I'm thinking about the whole need for us to grow and mature and as children to drink milk, as adults to eat solid food, guess what? Our spirituality is all centered around this book. As Reformed believers, as Christians, we have a spirituality of this book, which is the Word of God. And I can guarantee, if you and I are not reading the Word and meditating on the Word, we will not be maturing. That's why as grown men, for example, we can't live off our past knowledge. We can't say, well, I know all these things about the Bible. But if we don't feed on the Word, if we don't meditate on the Word, guess what? We will not be progressing and growing spiritually. But he says you need to go back to the first principles of the oracles of God. He said that's all you can handle right now. All you can handle is milk. About 7 weeks ago, we had a French bulldog puppy born, immature. We couldn't have given that puppy dog food. Couldn't have even eaten dog food that's for puppies. Instead, we had to try to feed that little puppy from a bottle with simple milk. And these early Christians, that's what they needed again. They needed the ABCs of their Christian life. He said, you're in need of just the basic principles. They need to know about the story of creation. They need to know about the story of the Exodus. They need to know of Christmas and what happened on Christmas. They need to hear about the cross. They need to hear about the resurrection of Jesus. They need to hear about the ascension of Jesus. They need to hear the basic Bible stories. That's all they can digest. And he says, you become like students again. He says in verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers. Here he's talking not about the preaching of the word. He's talking about how just simply adult Christians should be able to teach their children. The older women should be equipped to teach the younger women. Men in the congregation should be equipped so they can teach things like adult Sunday school. He says, by this time you should have been mature enough so that you could have taught other people, but instead you need to be sitting in the student's desk and you need an instructor again and you need to drink milk. And so what a sad thing it is when a full-grown adult spiritually regresses back into infancy and needs to drink milk. Now, why was there this going back, this retrogression into infancy? I think we could say there's three causes of it. For these early Christians, one cause was the pressure that came through persecution. The writer to the Hebrews later on in chapter 10, verse 33 says, you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations. So they had been persecuted. He says in chapter 10, verse 34, that they even joyfully accepted the plundering of their goods. But why are they in danger of going back to Judaism now? Well, it's pressure, you see, from Jews who have rejected Jesus. They're feeling pressure from family members and from their community. And so that pressure is leading them to stop studying the scriptures, stop growing and matured as they ought to have matured. But a second cause, and one that is emphasized by the writer here, is that they have dullness of ears. He says in verse 11, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. They're dull of hearing. That's part of the explanation of why they have not matured. Their ears are dull. What does it mean that their ears are dull? Are your ears dull? Children, when Dad and Mom are reading the Bible at the dinner table and explaining to you the Bible stories, are your ears dull? That your ears are dull means that your ears are lazy, sluggish, slow to listen. When you hear God's word preached by His ministers, is the word of God something that excites you, that interests you? These saints had dull ears. There was dullness of hearing. The ears of their heart were dull. They were uninterested. And so the writer to the Hebrews warns them. He warns them about this passivity. And he's telling them, you need to wake up. You need to realize how you have retrogressed. And you need to listen. You need to pay attention. You need to give more earnest heed to what you've heard. Then I think the third cause is unbelief. The writer to the Hebrews in chapter 3, verse 12 says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." There was unbelief, a lack of living in faith, a lack of struggling to believe what God had done in Jesus Christ. Our faith, you know, is like a muscle. It's something we need to exercise every single day. When we go outside in the summertime, we have to say, "Oh, my soul, you need to believe that the God who made this beautiful world exists and that He is your Father." When you read the Bible, you need to say, "Oh, God, I believe that what the Bible says about Jesus is true." When we walk outside and it's raining or the sun is shining and everything is growing, we need to say, "I believe that the Holy Spirit is the Lord and giver of life." And so due to unbelief, these saints are lazy and drifting and passive. And this dull listening is very dangerous, even for us tonight, as we listen to God's word. Now, what's the remedy to this all? The remedy, of course, is analyzing ourselves, looking at ourselves, and asking the question, where am I at spiritually? Am I progressing? Am I growing? Am I learning how to divide the Word of God? Am I becoming skillful in the Word of God so that when I'm in a Bible study, I have something to say? Because through the Holy Spirit and with the grace given to me, I can understand and interpret the sacred scriptures and share what I have learned with other people. We have to pay close attention when the word of God is preached so that we listen with attentiveness, so we have all ears to hear what the Spirit says to the church. And we need to, if we have gone backwards, well then let us drink milk. Let's go back to the simple gospel and let's drink it. You know, the Apostle Peter uses the same analogy in a beautiful way. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter 2 and look at 1 Peter 2 and look at verse 1. There Peter says, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Here the Apostle Peter uses this metaphor of drinking milk in an entirely positive way. And notice how he does it. He says, Christians are people who have been born again. He says, well, if we've been born again, then it's fitting as born again children of God, we drink milk. And he says, drink the sincere or pure milk of the word. And as you do so, you'll taste that the Lord is gracious. So how is it that you can mature? By drinking milk. So even if you're an adult and you haven't grown as you ought, then drink milk. Read the Bible stories. And for our children, let's feed them the rich, nutritional, pure milk of the Word. Tell our little children about Jesus and who he is. Tell them that Jesus is the Son of God. Talk to them about the cross. Our kids are naughty often. When they're naughty, say, yes, you and I are sinners, but we have a great Savior, Jesus, who has paid for the sins of his people once and for all. But give the milk. And then grow and mature. How is it that you grow and mature? Notice how the writer to the Hebrews tells us something about that in chapter 5, verse 14. So in our text, in verse 14, he tells us something about really what is the remedy? How can we mature? He says, but solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. How is it that we can grow? How is it that we can mature? Well, first we have to go to the milk, drink the milk. In other words, go to the Bible. And what can you understand? And what you can understand, apply it to your life and live it out. And as you do that, as you submit to the Word of God, you'll mature. And as you mature, you'll be able to discern between good and evil. In the Old Testament, talk about little children. It says little children can't even discern between good and evil. And that's what's probably being referred to here. When the writer says, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Here he's talking about the Christian as someone who needs to sort of be trained. We need to be trained. That is, that's what he means when he says we have our senses exercised, our moral senses exercised. We could say our conscience trained to discern good and evil. You see, it's as we walk in obedience to the Word of God and what we do understand that our consciences are trained. And that way we mature. And as we mature, then we fight against sin. We turn away from sin. We live new and godly lives. You see, that's how we can eat more and more solid food. Notice what the implication of this is. What if you come to the Bible and there's passages where there's solid food and you say, I don't get anything out of this? The writer to the Hebrews says part of the problem there might be is that as a husband, you're being mean to your wife. And your conscience isn't discerned between good and evil. Grow. Turn to the Bible passages that talk about how you should treat your wife as a weaker vessel. And as your conscience, you see, is trained over a period of time, as you grow in holiness, as your conscience is more sensitive over what is right and wrong, then God will give you the ability to handle solid food. And if you can't understand the deep things of God, what Paul teaches about predestination, or what passages say about the Holy Trinity and the work of God, well, the reason might be is that you lust too much. Maybe you can't eat solid food because you're fighting with people all the time. That's what the writer to the Hebrews says. So notice what the concern is. We need to grow in grace, in knowledge, but also in holiness. And he says, as we have our senses, our consciences trained to discern between good and evil, well, then he says, we'll be able to handle the solid food. He said, but solid food belongs to those kind of people. So what we need to do is we need to humbly listen to the Word of God. If we need to mature, there might be some milk we need to drink. But we also need to grow in holiness. You know what you need to be like? And I need to be like? Our four French Bulldog puppies right now. When we take their mom away from them and put her outside and then put her back in the kennel with them, guess what happens? Those little puppies attack their mom and they latch on and they drink and they love the milk they're getting from their mom. That's what we need to do. You see, we need to, as children even, we need to desire the sincere milk of the Word. As adults, we can say, well, by God's grace, I'm ready for solid food. And let us do what the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Eat the solid food of how Melchizedek is a type of Jesus. He was a man, you see, who was not only a king, but he was also a priest. And that's what Jesus is. He wasn't just a priest, just wasn't a prophet, wasn't just a king. He was king and he was priest, the high priest. That's the kind of solid food you can taste and see that the Lord Christ is your Savior. You and I need to drink with joy the word. We need to feast on the banquet of who Christ is, his superiority, and as we do that, we'll grow in faith. Now, the writer to the Hebrews has some very strong things to say to these early Christians, but I love how he, in chapter 6, verse 9, after he has really taken them to task, he says, "But, beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner." In other words, he says, yes, I've had to call you, some of you, spiritual babies. And I've had to warn that some of you are regressing, but he says, by God's grace, I can hope that you will mature and that you will persevere. And that's what we need to do. We need to lift our eyes to Jesus. We need to live in faith. As you approach the scriptures, you need to believe. Believe what the Bible says. Feed on the word this week. As mature adults, feed on the riches of the banquet here and see Christ as a complete and perfect Savior. And be content and filled and matured. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we are embarrassed by how much more we should have grown in the knowledge of you, in our love for each other, in the wisdom with which we interact with our family members, and so we grieve because of our sins and our immaturity. But we pray, oh God, that you would overcome these problems. Give us your word where it's necessary. Give us the milk of the word when necessary. Help us to have sensitive consciences. Help us to hate sin. And help us to rest in Jesus and to see him as one who has once and for all and forever fully paid for all of our sins.